It's good to come and receive, amen? When God prepares something for you, just think of how many people God prepared his son for and he died and they didn't receive that, amen? And they rejected that. And he's going to say, I prepared my son. He died. He rose. I prepared a place for you and it was there for you, but you didn't give your ear to hear. You didn't open your heart to receive. You had your ways figured out, your understanding figured out, and whatever you chose to do was more important than knowing God. But amen, that's not why we're here, amen? We love the Lord, and we're here to receive what he wants to say. So if you want to turn your Bibles to the Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, we'll see how this live goes. I'm the lucky one. I've been watching this church go through the technology age. When I just after I got revived, if you wanted to get a sermon, you got it on tape. And we had one of those little tape things. You could record it. And praise God, the work truck I was using at the time was my dad's old T. Fisher truck. And I was using that. It had a tape deck in it. All right. Then we had a Camry. It had a tape deck in it. CD player and a tape deck. And we eventually matured to a CD and eventually got our sermons online. And everything went kablooey. Oh, everything's gone. I still have all those sermons, though, and we're going to get those back up on there. I joke at our office that I have the most anointed hard drive ever. It's really not that, but there's just years of messages that were preached at the church from my dad, myself, and evangelists that have come along the way and brought the word. So if you want that, I have a copy of it. You bring me a hard drive, somebody will copy it. I won't. Probably somebody else will. I'll give it to somebody to do it. But I'll make sure it happens. Amen. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. Interesting parable. Parable we know. Parable I know, and the Lord gave me some interesting thoughts. We're going to dive in. Verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. To another, 2, and to another, 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Now, this parable we're reading in Matthew chapter 25 is a part of a group of parables. There's the parable of the virgin. So in this area, one thing that really stood out to me initially here was that these parables aren't spoken maybe to the lost man. Right, that those virgins represent a type of Christian. There's your wise virgins. You have your foolish virgins. You see these servants here. They were given talents. Okay, they're already servants of the master. They weren't out doing their own bidding, doing their own things. They have raised their hand to sign up to do labor and work for the master. And that master came, and he gave some orders. He gave some talents, and he gave them to those people. So you can see. I want you to think about this. As being believers, as you see according to scriptures, that he called his own servants. So these are people that love him, know him, that possess something of him, that had their eyes open, they were born again. You're not a servant unless you're born again. You'll never please God unless you're born again. And obviously we know we're here because we're born again, because God got a hold of our heart. Maybe somebody listening on the live stream isn't born again. They need to be. Because if you get born again, you get to be a part of the greatest kingdom that this earth will ever know, that will go from generation for generation. Amen? But to be born again, then you can be one of God's servants. Amen? It says here he delivered his goods. Okay, he called you out, chose you as a servant, and he gave you his goods. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. What are his goods? What are his talents? A talent in the Bible, you see, it can be a talent of silver. It can be a talent of gold, right? So it's like a coin. It represents, it's money. You know, a lot of times in the church, and even since I've grown up, you hear this spoke about and you talk about the talents, right? And we go like, oh, your talent is, you're the creative person. So you're going to be on the creative ministry and you're going to handle all our creative needs for our PowerPoints and things we want to do and our video editing. And then somebody else, you know, their ability is skateboarding or football or basketball, or, you know, you have the ability to throw a football really far. And I don't think these are the talents the Bible's talking about. These are talents that represent a measure of Christ, his character, and his nature. These are precious. These are precious coins, right? The Bible talks about the pearl. We know that pearl is Christ. Anything that would be of value is going to be of him, of his nature, of his character. That pearl, it was hidden, right? And it was in a field, and you're going to go dig, and you're going to find that. You're going to sell everything you have to get that one thing. That one thing is Christ, amen? So these talents represent the same thing. They're something of his character and nature. They're not just natural abilities. It's not that I don't believe maybe sometimes these things come into play, but the things that God really cares about is his character and nature in us, his ability. You know, you can practice a lot, right? You can practice to be good at the drums, and you can practice to be good at the guitar. You can practice your jump shot. You can practice your art, your ability to speak, right? There's a lot of people that think they're fit to be a preacher or a pastor because of their ability to speak, their ability to articulate, which would have canceled me out a long time ago, right? Their ability to speak with the professionalism and all those sort of things. And they believe that gives them the authority or the measure that was given to them, or their voice is loud, right? Well, that's me. My voice is loud. But that's not what prepares us. So this is something precious he gave, amen? The next thing you'll notice about this parable is he gave to one he gave, okay? So you see God's goods were given in different amounts to different individuals. Different amounts to different individuals. This actually can be a struggle for us at times. We look at someone, you can see the measure of God in one's life. You can see those godly talents that only God can give that come through the Spirit of God, and he's implanted those in our brothers, our sisters, a preacher, a sister, a saint, a young kid, whatever it is, and we can look at that and go, man, God, why don't I have that? You know, why wasn't I given the same measure? And you can see this very clearly, that these three individuals were both given these different amounts of talents. You know, one of the things I was pondering, and I, you know, kind of asking the Lord on, and maybe someone has some thoughts to share about it, if the Lord gives you a thought, but just thinking about this parable, we know it's, you know, when he leaves on a journey, he's talking about a season of time, but we talk, even in the song we sang, you know, about every season. A season could be, I'm born, and then the Lord comes, or I die waiting for him to come, right? But then we have different seasons. If you've walked to the Lord with any amount of time, there's different seasons in your life where you're going to go through things. He's going to have you in one place, then he's going to move you to another place. He's going to move you to another job. He wants to bring you to a greater place of understanding, a greater place of growth, a greater place of patience, and all of his things that he wants to do in you. But you can see that maybe this parable is something that happens multiple times in our lives. But we wonder, he got two, right? One got five, you know, and in the kingdom of God, they're like, oh, no, that's not fair, right? That's not fair. How come he gets, you know, five talents and I only get two talents? Well, the Bible says it here. Goes on to say, to each according to his own ability. Own ability. Own ability to do what? What is Jesus talking about here? According to one's ability to be a faithful steward. One who will be responsible for the currency of God. The amount was relative to the person's ability. Did you hear that? The amount that was given was relative to the person's ability to manage and steward that ability. That's what it says. Then it goes on to say in verse 16, then he who has received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who has also received two gained two more. It says he went and traded with them. Okay, so these believers, they went and they were fruitful with the investment that God gave them. They were fruitful with what God had gave them to steward. And it says they traded. This word traded means to work, labor, to do work, to trade, to make gains by trading, to do business, to do, to work out, exercise, perform, commit, to cause to exist, produce, to work for, earn by working, to acquire. One of the things that were interesting to me when you do those word studies is the same word here that is traded is actually the same word used in the story of the woman with the alabaster box. And she broke that box that had the precious ointment. And that precious ointment she poured on Jesus' head. And Jesus' most intimate disciples and those around him have a problem that they think this woman is wasting this precious ointment, pouring it on the Son of God. I think that's a great place to pour that ointment on. Amen? And it says, Jesus said this, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble this woman? For she had wrought. That's the same word as traded. Basically, she did a good work unto him. Amen? What a great work she did. We still talk about it today. So you can see this taking of this talent. They traded those talents and they produced. There was something that came out of it of a growth. These servants that received these talents put them to use. God's wisdom, God's love, God's patience, God's long-suffering, God's forgiveness. Amen? These are the things that God gives. These are example of some of the talents. These are the things we talk about if we're ever going to be an effective minister, if we're ever going to be an effective preacher, if we're ever going to be effective at our workplaces and people we meet at the grocery stores, at Panera Bread, or when we're sitting amongst each other in a Bible study. It's those character traits and nature of Christ that comes forth out of us that God has produced in us that will bring forth, amen, that river of living water that will flow out of us as the Spirit of God moves through a vessel, comes forth out of us and touches people, amen. It will do a work. That's why we're here. We're believing tonight, right, that God's going to do something, that God was going to give me something that would make it worth your time to come here and hear what he wants to say, amen. That if you open your heart and mind, I believe, you let that river flow. If I can learn to let the river of God flow out of me and flow into you, it's going to do a fruitful work. Amen? That is, right? Me and Uncle Mark talking. We're going to be a Pentecostal church, right? Amen. Amen. That's something determined in your heart. We're going to be a Spirit-filled church. But we get these things, these characteristics and nature of Christ that we learn through trials, through tribulations, through growth, through maturity, through exercising those things that God's given us, and it's added into our life, and we exercise those things again, and we add them to our life. Sometimes we wonder why we don't grow. Sometimes we wonder why we don't see much fruit. Sometimes that happens because we're simply not exercising what God gave us. You know, when I got revived, I didn't know very much. I know I learned things. I know there were seeds planted deep down inside of me, but as the Holy Ghost came and met me at an altar, it produced life in me, and it was life eternal, amen? And whatever I possessed and whatever I had, that's what I gave to people, and that was more than enough. I didn't have to be the expert theologian. I didn't have to know every scripture in my Bible to be effective for the kingdom of God, because the living Word of God, the Spirit of truth himself, came, lived inside of me one day, and I opened myself up to say, Lord, let me do your will, God. Let me be a vessel for you, Lord God. Let what come out of me be your life, Lord. Not just religion, not just going to church, not just paying the tithes, not just helping out, not clocking in on Sunday and clocking out, Lord, but that what I would possess would be the rivers of God, the life of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God gives us those things. They come from him. He entrusts us. God's given to you, church. He's given to you. He's given to you his Son. He's given to you love. He's given to you wisdom and patience. He's given you a sound mind, amen? He's given you a clear vision to raise your family and meet your needs. All these things he's given you. But what have we done with the talents of God? What have I done with the talents of God? Praise God, these two servants saw increase. And they're both able to double their portion. I was thinking about, you know, evaluating my life, something we probably need to do often. what we will do often, if you're ever going to grow, right? You know, if you're playing a sport and you're going, well, if I can, in basketball, if your release can be a little quicker or your first step can be a little faster or your hands for football, you can catch the ball a little better, right? You're going to be more effective for your team, but you have to evaluate yourself to see where you're at with God. Evaluate how you're utilizing God's gifts, utilizing God's talents, if you're going to grow in that. And I know the Lord didn't grant me, and I look at kind of the progression in the season of my life, and I'm on this business and, you know, trying to reason through what God's will is for my life other than to honor him and love him, provide for my family, be a good steward. I know these things, but I look at this business he's given me, and I realized something when I was putting this together. You know, this battle company business I have, it's been very successful. It's come from very little, and it's continuing to grow. And praise God, if he wants to keep doing that, he can. And if he wants to shut it down, that won't be exciting. But if that's what he has to do or wants to do, I surrender that to him. But I realized something as I was thinking on this. I realized it didn't come to me because of my perfect work attendance. And it didn't come to me because my ability to never make a mistake on the job, to never come late, to never be lazy, right? It didn't come to me because I'm the world's most diligent man, right? You know, you have the world's most diligent man, everyone's going to write Aaron Fisher under it. It just hit me. I've been thinking about this. It's something, you know, when the Lord gives you a word, like he gives you the word for today, but he's been given, you know how this is. He's like, been giving it to you. He keeps giving it to you. He gave me something for today, but it's something he's given me in the past, you know, and given me another time in the past. And he keeps bringing to remembrance. And the only thing I can conclude was this, that everywhere I went after I got revived, I wasn't the perfect, John can contest, Tyler can contest. There's plenty of witnesses here that can say Aaron wasn't Mr. Perfect. Wait till you see his pot and he messed up the words and misspelled something or switched numbers around or added two letters and all these things. And it's like, how can I make that mistake? And it wasn't because of my perfect work ethic, but I know what it was. Everywhere I went, I proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ. And he blessed that everywhere I go. Everywhere I went, as the Lord moved me along from my business to working at Willkill, I was there because I needed to provide a living for my family, but the Lord had me there to minister unto Tyler. And then when I went into, I lost that job. They fired me for crying out loud. Then 3 weeks later, I sold the roof job. The Lord met my needs. I knew I could trust in him because he had been with me all along the way, and I took that job because I was going to lose my house, and the Lord used that job to help me get out of that. Well, my work was done over at Willkill, apparently, whether I liked it or not, right? Then he moves me along 3 weeks later to go to Bluemel's. And I went in there and I quoted them a website for a couple $1,000. So I said, tell you what, why don't you hire me? Why don't you hire me to come in and I'll work on your marketing, I'll build your website, I'll work with your sales, all that kind of good stuff to help you guys get more up to date. Their website was horrific, John can tell you. But you know what? When I was there, guess what? God had somebody for me to talk to. Right? God has people around you that he wants you to talk to. And they may be in this place today if you're willing to let the measure of Christ come out of you. Amen? But faithful there. And he blessed me there. And I was there for 2 years. Guess what? They let me go kind of as a contractor. But guess what? The Lord already started to work. And I was diligent working there. I went to work every day. I wasn't perfect. I'm not trying to say that. Not saying I didn't need to be better. And everywhere I go, these are all good things. But that wasn't the main thing that God was really checking with. What mattered most to him was I faithful with him. Was I faithful with the Christ that was in me? And when people would reject me, or I'd stand up amongst a bunch of sneering individuals who think I'm silly or think it's stupid what I'm saying or what I'm standing for, and all these people there looking around you, storming off, getting mad at you, trying to find a reason. But did Christ come out of me? That's what matters. To be found faithful. And now I'm in a place where I'm in charge. People probably go like, well, that's what I want. I'd be the greatest Christian if I was in charge, right? If you had to deal what I deal with, if I got to be the boss. Well, isn't it always so fun to be the boss? Ask him. The Bible talks about not being quick to be teachers, you know, and I know that's, there's some obviously simple applications the word is trying to teach us, but you think about those things, you know, even getting up here, just talking with Tyler, like you said, there's the nerves, right? Because there's something like, it's not that this is so holy, and then if you put me down there, it's less holy, and if I stand up closer to a cross, it's going to be more holy, right? But it's not about so much the where I'm standing behind Chris's giant pulpit. It does pretty well containing me. It makes me feel like I can move a little, and I still stay behind it. But it's not about that, right? It's about a position that when you're here speaking and you have the responsibility to preach and teach to God's people, right? You're God's people. You're not my people. You're not Terry Fisher's people. You're God's people. Am I going to give the people what God wants the people to have? Amen? All that brainstorming, so much of the church does, all that's going to burn. All that will burn. Get the heart and mind of God. Amen? When Auntie Sandy teaches, she wants to have the heart and mind of God. When John Henniger does those Bible studies, he wants to have the heart and mind of God. When you open your mouth and raise your hand to give a testimony, you better have said, Lord, is this your heart and your mind? It's one thing if it's a question, right, in Bible study, but you do carry that responsibility no different than you expect us here. Amen? So that what we say amongst one another is fruitful. What we do amongst one each other adds a measure of Christ. Amen? That'll make our Bible studies really encouraging, real blessing. How many times can you think of a conversation since you've been revived, whether it was at a Bible study, at somebody's house, in a car, locked in with the heat on, and someone keeps blabbing on, but the Spirit of the Lord's there, amen? And you leave refreshed, you leave hungry for Him, amen? That's what I want our Bible studies to be. That's what I want the Sunday to be. That's what I want it to be when we sing, right? Because that's ultimately what the Lord wants, and that's what I come here for. I want what the Lord wants, amen? Praise God. You know, many other people, like I said, by the natural, would probably be more fit to be the CEO of Battle Company, right? But God saw fit to put me there. I don't know why. And now it's the season I'm in. And amen, He has. I'm glad He has, because I'm getting opportunity to share in people's lives and just pray that the Lord, through all this, gives me clarity, that I don't miss God, that I don't get caught up in the excitement of things that can happen, because there's a lot of things you can face, you know, and God will put you there when you're ready for it. So I believe I'm there because the Lord wants to produce something in me. Amen. These two servants, it says in verse 20, so he who has received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who also received 2 talents came and said, look, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. These men that handled these talents of God were called good and faithful. That's why I titled this sermon, Good and Faithful. Amen? And they weren't just faithful to do, okay? They weren't just faithful to do. Many churches, many people are faithful to do. They're faithful to come. They're faithful to give. They may be faithful to say something, okay? But we're talking about doing the things with the master's money that the master desires. We can do a lot of things, the Bible says, right? We can do a lot of ministry and have no real effect. We can do things and build upon that foundation, the Bible says, and there's all these other building materials, and the fire comes and tests that work, right? And it all burns away. But you know what's great about that? Once it all burns away, what's left? There's still a foundation of Christ, amen? So there is time, God. You got to come, that piece of siding's crooked, that wall's crooked, like whamp, whamp. You're going to take some of those things off. You're going to build it straight again, and God's going to keep doing his work, amen? But these men were called faithful, and they were called good and faithful. All the Bible says, there's none good. The Bible also says you shouldn't call anybody a fool, but it also says, oh, foolish Galatians. So you have to ask the Lord what that means. Must mean something a little different here, but he called these servants faithful and good. Isn't that your desire? That when the master comes, he looks down at you and says, son, daughter, servant, you've been faithful and good. Amen. We can do all kinds of things, but let us do those things that when the master comes, that he can say, you've been faithful and you are good. They also, you can see their ability to testify confidently before the Lord. They didn't go before him sheepishly. They weren't like, oh, did I do enough, Lord? Hey, Lord, look what I did. Just like a kid comes with that drawing. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom, look what I did. Hey, Mom, look what I built. They came before their father, right? Donnie talked about, you know, seeing the Lord as their father. And that's such a great truth. So many times the devil wants to miscue and distort your understanding of who the Heavenly Father really is. If it's he's overly ready to crack the whip on you, or he's so loving he's not willing to chastise you, right? The devil's always come and trying to distort your view of Christ. But these men were able to go because they were faithful and testify confidently before the Lord of their gains. They testified of what gains they had, what the Lord has done in them. They were testifying of that confidently to him. Hey, Lord, look what I did, Lord. I was thinking like, man, would I be like, oh, Lord, what didn't I do? But they went before him confidently. Then after they did that, they weren't just given some things. God gave them a position. He says, I will make you a ruler over many things. They were given authority over many things. And not just any authority, but given his authority, his ring, his seal, his stamp. Praise God. And here's something that's really interesting to me. Even more so than all that, maybe the greatest thing they were given was the ability to walk in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. This verse here talks about the joy of the Lord. They were faithful. God said, you can walk in that joy. You know, that when he comes and calls you good and faithful, you'll be walking in the joy in the Lord. But ask yourself this. As you possess the talents of God inside you, do you have his joy? Mr. and Mrs. Disgruntled, right? It's talking about the church. We're not talking about the world. They are disgruntled. They don't know Christ. What do you expect? Right? Life always gets them down. But you that possesses Christ, who is born again, you, Mr. and Mrs. Disgruntled, you're not doing the will of God. You're coming in here grumbling and complaining. Grumbling and complaining about somebody. Grumbling and complaining about your walk, grumbling, complaining about your work, grumbling, complaining, right? I'm not talking about lifting up needs or challenges or trials. That's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. We've all met Mr. and Mrs. Disgruntled. Maybe some of us have been Mr. and Mrs. Disgruntled at times. But you'll know because you won't possess that joy. That's what's lacking. They're disgruntled because they lack the joy. If you got the joy of the Lord, there's really nothing to be crabby about. Everything can crumble. Everything can go down. But guess what? You have the joy of the Lord. I'm in the will of the Father. I have his talents. He's given me this to be a steward of. And he's working in me. And he loves me. He's a good, good father who loves me. And there's nothing to be disgruntled about. Amen? If you're disgruntled, you better go ask for forgiveness, amen? If you're upset and being crabby, that's the worst. Crabby, I don't want people coming to work crabby. I don't want to be crabby. I don't want to walk in crabby. When I'm crabby, I'm going, oh, Lord, I'm being crabby. God, forgive me. Who wants to come to that? Who wants to be around that? Who wants to come to church? Sit next to me and I go to Penny, she's like, rah, rah. Who wants to come here? Nobody's going to want to come here. But you see with these men, what God is looking for is progression. God is looking for growth, whether it's taking the land little by little or doing from or going from glory to glory, right? A constant growth. You know, sometimes we like to set the tone for that or the speed for that, but God does according to each one's ability. 2 Corinthians says this, 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by what? The Spirit of the Lord, amen? It's adding more character, more of his love, more of his grace, more of his patience, more of his understanding, more of him, amen? Like that mustard seed that starts off and it has its different stages of growth and it's planted into the ground and it breaks forth and life pops up and then there's the, I don't know, someone else probably knows it better than me. There's all these stages of a plant's life cycle, but it eventually grows up. And then the birds can come and rest in. A hot and tired worker or family can sit under it and gather comfort under its shade. Amen? This is what the kingdom of God is. It's a growing thing that must progress forward. There must be something in us of growth. Amen? Now it brings us to this next person in the story. Obviously, there was three people in the story. One was five. One was given two. Now, everybody listen to me closely. Okay, two, and then there was one. Listen to what it says here in verse 18. I kind of backtracking here because I want to keep this all together. But he who has received one went and dug it in the ground. And it says this, and he hid the Lord's money. See, this individual received one. What did he do with it? Listen to this. Listen, this is important. He didn't spend it on riotous living, okay? He didn't go and gamble it off. He didn't put it in a bad investment deal, okay? But he was given one. No, it says he dug it in the ground. What is the ground? What is the ground? It says this, he hid the Lord's money. He hid the Lord's talent. Goes on, this is his response in 24. It says this. This is based on, he says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping when you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Look, there you have what is yours. Said, I knew you to be a hard man. You know, I've kind of pondered on this scripture for some time and go like, is the Lord a hard man? Now, this man's understanding of his master in this moment, his testimony of his maybe his revelation where he's at with God at this point is that he's a hard man. And I'm thinking like, why did the master go like, what do you mean I'm a hard man? Look at what I've given you, right? The Bible talks about his burden is light and his yoke is easy. But this man's judgment, he's made a judgment over God of who he is. But I don't think that judgment is accurate, but it's where his understanding is. You know that the Bible speaks on this about God working within our understanding, right? He does this, right? There's a man, his understanding is, I can't do this. Well, until your understanding changes, until the Lord shows you otherwise, that's what you do. But then one day that man's going to eat meat. His understanding grew. Probably no longer he's going like, oh no, the Lord's, you know, I joked about this. I shouldn't joke. But you know, when the people that have kind of gone the way of like maybe the Hebrew roots movement and they're really going back to the law, you know, sometimes I come across these posts and things that people do and we're just kind of joking about it. But it's like they write the Lord's name. It's either Yahweh or whatever way they're saying it, okay? And then they like remove the vowels. Because if they remove the vowels, that's a more holy way to write the name of the Lord. And I just, you know, I was talking with Greg Zimdahl a little bit, and we're just having like a super awesome time of fellowship after work one day. And we're just talking about the Lord, and we start talking about some different things. And I read something or whatever, this came up. And interesting, it's just like, imagine this. God comes up to you and says this. Well done, thy good and faithful servant who didn't use vowels. Well done. You've done well. And I think you could probably, that statement's a little ridiculous, no doubt. But there could be a lot of things. Oh, that well done, thy good and faithful servant that never showed his wrists, right? And these things we call that they're holy and it's God and it's God's character and nature. And that's what he's saying, well done with? Seems silly, right? For us that know, it's silly. But this is the kind of thing the devil comes and he tries to bring in, and somehow God's going to be pleased because of my lack of vowels. If that's what my understanding is, God can be pleased in that. But he's going to grow me out of that. Amen? It says, I know you to be the hard man. It also says this. It says he was a man. It says that he feared, right? I was afraid. Now, this isn't, I think, the godly fear that God's talking about us, that he wants us to have. He probably would have called it godly fear. Oh, I'm afraid. Oh, my master. It would have been all wrapped up about his fear of God. Oh, I fear the Lord more than others. I fear God so much. Oh, I'm going to not make any mistake. You know what? I was just thinking how many times fear has gripped us and it stopped the flow of life that could have came forth. But because we were bound by fear and our misunderstanding of the master, no work was done, but he feared, that's what it said. He was afraid. So he hid that measure of Christ on the inside. This is all he did. He hid that on the inside. It didn't say he got rid of it. It didn't say, like I said, he spent it on riotous living. He hid it in that dirt of himself, the dirt of his flesh. He buried what God had given him. What God had given him was real. Amen. What God has done in your life is real. And sometimes we do this and we can be in a season of this, but praise God, it's still in there. Amen. Listen to the master's response. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. What are you talking about? I dug this hole. I dug it 50 foot deep, Lord. Look at all this work I did, God. You knew that I reaped what I have not sown. See, this is strange. Like, God, why don't you correct his understanding here? He said, you knew. Well, it's kind of like if you knew that about me, that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. That guy's no longer known as the 5-talent guy. He's now the 10-talent guy. Amen? I want to be the 10-talent guy, the 20-talent, the 100. Amen? And if I'm given one, I want to be the 2. And if I'm given 2, I want to be the 4. Amen? The servant described as wicked. He's in, nothing about his actions seems so wicked. He's not bound up in pornography. He's not being a sluggard, not providing for his family. He's not cussing up a storm and being angry at everything that goes by. No, he's just buried. He's just buried what God has given him. He's described as lazy. Strong word. Ah, Aaron, you're lazy. I don't want to be called lazy. I've been lazy, right? These are strong words to describe a servant. It's a tragedy to God that there's those of us here that possess a measure of Christ on the inside, but are not letting it manifest on the outside. The servant had knowledge. That's a whole sermon in itself. And he was given one talent for a reason. He was given a talent. God really gave him that talent. Nobody else did. God gave it to you. Nobody else did. Not this church, not Clendenin, not just some scripture, not the assemblies of God. God gave you that talent. It was God that gave it to you. It was God that opened your eyes. It was God that forgave you. It was God that illuminated those scriptures in you. It was God that planted that talent and made you a steward of it. He saw fit, even if it's one, to give you one talent. Amen? He even said if you would have deposited it, maybe gave it to the church, and that's the only thing you did with it, and maybe it didn't look like it had the same growth. You know, if you put your money in a bank, that's not a very great, it's a very safe investment, but you're not going to make any big money. You might make a couple percent interest, right? That's what happens. You put your money in the bank, it accumulates a little bit of interest where you can put your money in a stock or in a business and you can have explosive growth opportunity. A bank only brings back a measure, but that measure is still something. It's still something of growth. It still can be deposited somewhere. Maybe you go and like, oh man, I missed my opportunity, but you could still put it in that bank and it'll bring forth growth. Amen? He wanted to receive something back from you. He wanted to get something back from you. And you had the ability to give it to him. Master takes the talent, gives it to the guy that has a lot. That don't work with communism and politics of today. Give the guy that has the most. Figure that out. I was like, man, he has everything. You know why? Because that man that keeps being faithful, you can just see, right? Some of the family thinks that, right? They look at our family or look at my dad. He's got his boys. He's got his grandkids. He's got his wife. He's got his sons that love the Lord, right? That's everything, amen? No, he's got people, friends, and family all around. Why? Because he was found faithful. For to everyone, I'm closing here. Jeremy, if you want to come. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant, foolish virgin, a servant, now an unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not a good place to be. Some here are in that place right now. If the Father came today, that came to collect, you might say, oh man, have I given the Lord an increase? The Bible says in verse 19, I love this thought here. I really think it's going to encourage you guys, okay? So listen closely. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Said he was on a journey. The master was on a journey. And after a time, he's going to come. And he's going to come to see if we're found profitable or not. He's given us a measure of himself. And we have let it lock away. Some he's given one. Some he's given two. Some he's given five. But you know what encourages me? That man that buried that talent, he knows where it is. He knows where that talent is. He might know not, you know, he knew where it was for Jesus when he came. And guess what? God hasn't come yet to settle his accounts. He has not come yet. There's still time. There's still time. He's not come back yet. And whether he comes back for 100 years or comes back tomorrow, today there's still time to go find what we've buried and get that shovel of humility and bust up that ground and brush off the dirt and blow on that coin. And go do something profitable with it, amen? That's good news, amen? You may have buried it. You know, I was thinking about a plant. When it's in the ground, it may not have a lot of leaves and fruit. It's dry, but it still has roots. It was a seed that grew up. I'm not talking about a bad tree. I'm talking about a good tree. And there's that time where the master says, you come, and he's going to dig around it. Amen? And when that soil gets cracked, what needs to happen? Water. Water. Some of you, God wants to pour water on your dry ground. Some of you, the Lord wants to do something in you. He did it. What he did in you was real. Real. And it's there buried. And he just wants you to come to him. He just wants you to come before him and brush off some of the dirt. Thank you, Lord. I know that's not everybody. And I know this. One of the great places you can do that is right here at an altar. Amen? But that altar really is a position, a place of your heart. How much longer are you going to leave it buried? How much longer that life that God's given you are you going to let it sit under there? Maybe you haven't quite buried it to just some dirt. Come, let the Lord brush the dirt off. Amen? Come, let his presence come. Fill this place and fill our hearts. You know, I went through a pretty dark time in my walk amidst all kinds of things that the Lord was doing and seemed to be highs and lows with the business and wondering, you know, God, what am I doing, Lord? What is my call? What is it, Lord? Why is this all happening, God? Is this just me or is this you, Lord? But you know what? No matter how I felt, I determined in my heart and my mind that every day I'm going to put my faith in him. And in those dry times, a song would be played. I can remember some of him sitting in the church, listening to a testimony, hearing a song, and the Lord brings to remembrance all the things he's done. Amen? He's done such real things in so many of us. Some of us, you're just getting started, amen? God's got all kinds of fun things he's going to do, all kinds of challenges, all kinds of exciting things that he's going to use you, no matter your age. Why don't you come? Why don't you come be in his presence? Why don't you say, Lord, I'm coming to you? That's the first work. You just went to him in humility. And that's what I would do, Lord. I just come to you in humility, Lord. I know how I feel, Lord. I don't know why I feel this way, God. But I know if I can touch you, Lord, if I can feel your presence and your presence can be poured into my life, that it'll make all things good. Do that. Let him come. Pour into your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The altars are open. If you come, maybe that's not, but come pray anyway. Come pray with somebody. Amen. But don't let your heart be hard. Brush off that dirt. God wants to do something with you. He's there waiting with open arms. He's not there to bonk you on the head. His time hasn't come. He hasn't come today to settle this account. He's given you a time. Amen. And don't take that time for granted. Don't wait to another day. Today's the day. Today's the day to get in his presence. Today's the day to unbury what God's given you. Amen. You know, the man in Matthew, that the master forgave his debts. If you're born again, that happened to you. You know what the Lord said? That servant fell down. He wasn't able to pay. Maybe it's something you're not able to do. Good job, because God don't want you to do it anyways. He wants to do it in you. Amen? And it says that servant fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him his debts. He will forgive you. Amen. The master is moving today in compassion for your soul. The master's moving today. He loves you. He gave you something of him. He gave it to you to be a steward. And that thing that you're not giving to him, you need to give back. Maybe you're faithful in some of the things, but he wants you to be faithful with all he's given you. Amen? He's put you in places. He's done things in you. Amen. And they're going to be for his glory, and he's going to come back. And he is going to look, and that's what I just know. Lord, when you come, I'm going to hear those words. You are good and faithful servant. But every time we reject his calling, every time we put more dirt on it, we're the one step away from letting the Lord do what he wants to do. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Come, let him move. Let him pour into your life. Amen? Pray for those up here. Pray for those in their seats. Amen. Pray that the Spirit of God will come and move. He's here. He waits with open arms. He loves you so much. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Can you? Here, play this for me. This one. Maybe this one. Amen. And raise your hands. Be humble before him. That's where it starts. That's where it finishes. A place of humility. No matter what you feel. That's what faith is, right? Faith isn't about what you feel. And don't worry, you'll feel God. When he pours his presence over you and in you, you will feel him. Amen? And he wants you to feel him. And he wants you to have that embrace and feel his grace. He wants you to experience him. And there's others he has for you to give of him. Amen? Let us be found faithful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, Lord. Let me be found faithful, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, God. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for giving us, Lord, giving us those talents, God, that, Lord, you entrusted us with your spirit, Lord, with your measure, with your son, Lord, God. We blow the dirt off, Lord. We dig up that ground, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do a work, Lord, in my brothers and sisters here, Lord God. Those, Lord, you've given them, Lord, a real measure of you, God. You've done a real work, Lord God, that only you can do, Lord, that man can't do, that only you can grant, and you can give real understandings and real revelation, Lord. Thank you, Lord.